Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
She's a fashion blogger, model, and entrepreneur.
She's amazing.
The latest tips on fashion, beauty, wellness, travel, and her lifestyle. And now, here's the founder and creator of Not Basic Blonde, Olasha.
Hey loves, welcome back to another episode of Not Basic Blonde podcast. I have a very interesting episode today and very interesting guest, like always. How do you become a millionaire? Great question, right? I'm sure so many would like to know the answer to that. So, in today's episode, my guest will be sharing simple steps that will make you a millionaire. My guest today is Nima Yamini. Nima is public figure, entrepreneur, speaker, author, co-founder of PN & Friends investment consultant firm, which is also an online education company with the largest crypto, NFT, and blockchain-based community on Earth. Also very popular in social media, went viral many times on TikTok, and so much more. So today, Nima and I will be talking about simple steps that will make you a millionaire. We'll be talking about crypto world. We'll be talking about finances. How can you become a millionaire? And we'll be sharing our personal experience and so much more. Very interesting episode, guys. But before we dive in, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review Not Basic Blonde podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Hi, Nima. So glad to have you on my podcast. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being my guest. And you're such a successful entrepreneur. We would love to know what's the secret.
I'm still figuring it out myself. And I want to just, first of all, say thank you for having me here. You really, man, 4 million downloads. Wow. That's a lot. Well, so you, I want to know your secret to success also here, how you did that.
Well, I've done a lot of work and it's like basically 24/7 and I have a team that helps me and nonstop making connections and networking. So that helps a lot.
Nice. All right. Well, yeah, you know, it's similar for me as well. You know, it's, I have a great team. My background is just 41 years old. I live here in Miami and I also live in Germany. And when I'm here for about 7 months out of the year. Here in Florida, we have a special tax situation, which is much easier than in Germany, which is a much higher tax rate for high income individuals. So here we have no state. So if I'm here, there's something called the 183-day rule. So if you're in Florida for 183 days, you can actually qualify for having Florida as your tax domicile. But as an American citizen, I'm marrying a German woman this summer and she's pregnant. So in September is our due date for our daughter. And yeah, thank you. You know, it's my first, my dream was to one day have a daughter. I used to go to the playground and look at and visualize. This actually helped me in business too, but I would visualize one day being a man playing with my daughter's cheeks at the playground and having her walk and fall, walk and fall, walk and fall. And now, finally, yeah, I'm 41. I didn't know if it would ever happen. I mean, I would literally go to the playground and just watch this and visualize that one day this I achieved this goal. I want this to be me, you know? It was just watch, visualization technique. And then when I found out my lady is pregnant, it was a surprise. I didn't see that coming. And then find out that it's a girl. I mean, it's just, you know, she just went to the doctor yesterday. Everything's good. And I'm just preparing for that. But, you know, I use that for preparation. I use that visualization in business often. I visualize what I want. And people, it sounds corny that people do that, but it actually works. It's worked for me. So as an American citizen, I'm taxed on global income. It doesn't worldwide income, it doesn't matter where I live. It's one of, I think, maybe of two countries in the entire world that essentially has that for American citizens. So I don't want to give up my American citizenship. I can still have residency in Germany. So basically there's tax treaties and such, but this is just my situation. So I stay here 183 days. She went back earlier. I'm still here until next month. And saving money on taxes is something that's, you know, as your income goes higher, learning how to legally avoid taxes is something, rather than evade taxes, you know, is something that'll help you put more money right back into your business, lend more money, invest more money, and grow it. So I would say one way that I've grown is just networking and experimenting and trying out new ideas. And that's it, really. Just keep trying. I've been in a bunch of businesses. I was in nightclubs. I was in real estate, private equity, extensive private equity background, doing financing, deals, debt. And now I'm just creating a bunch of content and on social media, build one of the largest, most respected crypto-based communities on Discord. We have over 46,000 members with Pablo Heeman, who's a crypto thought leader. That's an educational program that we have. It's online education. That valuation now is at about around eight figures. So based on the EBITDA that we have. So, and the multiples that are going for companies in the online tech sector. So
that's incredible. And I'm so glad you're having a daughter. Usually guys are so passionate about like dreaming about having a boy, but you're having actually a daughter. That's amazing. And I've just been in Germany recently. I had to spend a month in Frankfurt because I had to evacuate my family from Ukraine and they had to get their visas. So we had to be in Germany. And I, because of the mistake of technical error of USCIS, we had to be there stuck for like a month and it wasn't fun. I wish to see Germany actually, like I wish to go there actually for vacation, not for, you know, staying there. And what do you think of crypto world right now? I know it's been wild lately, but what do you think is going on? And what's the best advice? Do you like, should you invest in crypto right now? Or what do you think?
Well, you know, my community, we my partner and I, we're more on the bear side. We're in like, you know, moon boys that you see on TikTok. But like low IQ, they promote, oh, it's everything's going to the moon, to the moon, to the moon. We're really the opposite of that. I mean, his background, for example, is investment banking on an institutional level. We were calling that Bitcoin would crash. He was in particular. And that was the stance we took in our community. Even when it hit about 40K, he said it was going to go into the 20s. People laughed at him. That it hit 45, people laughed at him. You know, a few months later, it hit 60, 65. People laughed at him. People kept saying, hey, what's going to happen? Is Bitcoin going to hit the 20s? People thought we were a joke. We were these old guys. I'm 41. He's about 38. Oh, we don't know what's going on. The 20-year-olds all laughed at us. Ah, ha, ha. You guys are idiots. You don't know what's going on with technology. And now look at today. Look how much Bitcoin has crashed. So this was a major victory for us in the state of, popular vote, court of public opinion. And it's sad because a lot of people got hurt. And that's what happens when people listen to low IQ TikTokers. rather than actually learning from professionals who have real world finance experience, who understand, you know, technical analysis, fundamental analysis, you know, can understand what's going on at a hedge fund, private equity firm, or investment banking unit, you know, have actually worked with the managing director at an investment bank, not just they watch two YouTube videos and then TikTok. TikTok is an app that is making our country stupid. I'm very passionate about this one cause because I feel that it has been designed to make our country stupid. And if any of you that have, any of you that are mothers, okay, any of you that are fathers, if you have children on that app, be very careful because that app is designed to make us stupid. And I'm on that app. I take breaks from that app. I built over 785,000 followers on that app, despite being suppressed, because I speak up about it, about what they're doing. And I think more Americans should really be careful that have, you know, have really should be careful putting their children, their younger brother, their younger sister. If they're on that app, they should at the very least watch a 60 minutes interview with someone from the intelligence community that exposed the indoctrination and psychological warfare that was happening at TikTok on our children's handheld device, a Trojan horse. So I would really recommend that a lot of you that are mothers really, really be careful with how much time your son spends, your daughter spends on that app, because it's not a friendly app, at least if you're an American. It's not. And good old fashioned reading books, good old fashioned listening to educational podcasts, well, modern day education, old fashioned, considering 2022 podcast seems old fashioned, but watch, you know, the sources that you gather information from, you know, who are you learning from, and getting a wide variety of point of views. I think that's becoming harder and harder. Again, I feel a sense of responsibility because I've been on TikTok for about 2 years to educate people on the fact of it is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. It is not an American platform like YouTube, Instagram, or Twitter. That algorithm is illegal in China. It is basically banned in India. It's not banned here. So again, before I sound like a broken record, if you are a parent and you have a son or daughter on that app, if you have a younger brother, a younger sister, a younger cousin, a nephew, a niece, take a few minutes, watch the 60 minutes interview, and just reevaluate what you do on that app. You know?
It can be like TikTok can be really toxic. Like it sucks you in more than other apps. And I noticed that with myself. Like I time myself when I go on it. And like, you know, they have to clear out the cache, whatever. And when I didn't clear out, I always get these entrepreneurs, like all these crypto guys, like giving some advice. And they don't even know anything about it, but they just like pretending like they're just an expert or these coaches that make 8 figures and they promise you to like create constant like abundance and wealth. And then you go on their Instagram, they have like 500 followers.
and you get it. It's, you know, it's not like I'm this 41-year-old guy who is not able to understand this technology. I was on TikTok about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. I mean, it was September, a little less than 2 years ago, when not that many people my age were on there. So I've also been involved with, you know, I've also been studying blockchain for years, way before I co-founded Pian and Friends, a crypto-based community, one of the most respected on Discord in the world. Way before I did that, I was still involved with these new nascent, you know, disruptive technologies, because I think it's a massive paradigm shift for society on so many levels, and it's not going away. It's going to still come back. Right now, to answer your earlier question, I'm still buying, you know, but I take a very long view and I allocate a very small portion of my financial net worth to that. I view it as speculative. I view it as something that I have conviction for on a philosophical, ideological level. You know, and I believe that in the long run, cryptocurrency, blockchain, NFTs, I do think there's a place for it. And I do think a lot of people want more independence and to break out of a government, it doesn't matter what country you're in. And I do think more people are demanding transparency. And I do think blockchain solves a lot of these problems. I'm not an engineer. I can't explain the technicals of it, but on a principled level, it is a reason why I started this community, because I feel like, how do we take people from an older way of doing it to a new way of doing it? And, you know, I'll say one thing, being on TikTok, for example, I couldn't believe, for example, on my Instagram, I have 3 videos. They all hit about 100,000. You know, for me, I only have about, you know, currently I only have about 60,000 followers, but I'm actually getting 60,000 views or 3 million views, or, you know, I just did a video, 29 million views, but like I have high level of engagement, you know. I didn't just buy 600,000 bot followers, you know? And I think that, like, for example, on TikTok, they give you 500,000 followers, but I actually question the legitimacy of it, because you could have 600,000 followers and then they give you 300 views. So as a businesswoman, now most of my audience is women on TikTok. Most, according to my analytics, by far, most 7 out of 10 of my audience is actually women. I help a lot of women. I'm a big believer in, you know, people should get paid the same, men or women. You know, I'm against toxic feminism, but I'm all for real feminism. And I think most human beings are in this country. There's a small group of toxic feminists on TikTok that are really extremist, you know, and they're spreading hate, inequality, not equality, which is what I back. So back to the earlier point here. If you're a woman, and I imagine most of this audience is women, if you're a woman and you're starting a small business on TikTok, be very careful. You know, are you willing to dress very little clothes? Are you willing to dance? Are you willing to act like a bimbo? Are you willing to act in a trashy way? No, trashy, whatever that means to you. TikTok is going to show women, in some regards, the most littlest respect. It has men hate women. It's vile. But another thing that women have a problem with on TikTok is that it's hard to actually build a real business. Why? Because they may give you 100,000 followers, but what are you going to do if in 2 weeks you only get 50 views? Now on Instagram, which is an American platform, on YouTube, which is an American platform, on Twitter, which is again an American platform, Discord, an American platform, you can be a woman that starts a small business, you make a capital investment, you build a real business, act, behave like a professional, a respectable professional woman, the way I'm gonna raise my daughter at least, all right? And you can build a real business. You might have 10,000 followers, but guess what? It's real. Rather than having 200,000 followers on TikTok and you only got 80 views, and then next week you got 3,000 views. There's no consistency. They can just take it from you, and their algorithm is based, so you need them and you need to do trends. You need to act like a cocktail waitress. And I respect cocktail waitresses, but I'm just saying, do you want to be a cocktail waitress? Maybe you don't. So Instagram, I think, shows more respect for businesswomen that are professionals. I have a professional community, and the woman actually who helped us build our secret weapon is a woman. She's a former executive at Sony. Pablo Heeman and I are on the content creation side, but the woman that helped us build our company, which literally from day one, which would not be here, which now we have so many, you know, we have created so many jobs, again, thousands of people, was a woman. And she feels very strongly about it, as do I, about having the image of professional women promoted. We specifically avoid having the kind of commercials that show a cocktail waitress promoting crypto. It's disgusting. And to me, I find that actually to be, in a way, subtle misogyny. I feel like that. I support women. So we make it a point to have great examples of professional business women that are on our team. Because that goes along with my principles. That is exactly how I will raise my daughter, to be a professional, to demand to be respected as a professional based on the merit, performance, and her attitude. Demand respect because her performance is so good, but she's professional, she's strong, she has a great attitude, and she demands equal pay not more, not less. And she gets, I'm going to raise my daughter like a Viking, like, you know, like Lagertha, you know? I say, you know, like when I see a woman, I want something like that for my daughter. And you're like that. You're like that. You know, so I could see why they might not promote you. Maybe I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if you have TikTok. And I wouldn't
be surprised. You know, I do have part time on TikTok, and
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
I'm actually not surprised.
To ask you, how did you grow so fast on TikTok? Because, like, you know, it's not like Instagram. No, not at all. And sometimes you actually post the quality content, which is like beautiful, and it's not as promoted on the app. And then you see this like dirty, unedited, like terrible videos, and they're like on the top of the page. They have like millions of views.
I think there are a lot of really talented entrepreneurs, especially women, that are on TikTok that have been completely overlooked. Goes back to TikTok being controlled by the CCP. You know, it rather than promoting women the way YouTube does, Instagram does, Twitter does. And when I say women, I mean professional. I mean specifically professional business women. And instead of promoting that image and wanting those kind of women to do well, it's no, you have to act like this on TikTok to do well. And by the way, the women that I've noticed that they promote on TikTok are also the most nastiest, toxic feminists. It's not the feminists that men and women all can say, oh, okay, cool, women's rights, equal pay, real equality. No, it's the type of women that are antagonizing the men, right? And then it's really by design what's going on there. Whereas on Instagram, I don't feel that, right? On Instagram, you have 1.7 million followers. It actually gives you a fair opportunity to compete. That's why I really think all Americans should be rooting for these American platforms. Because if TikTok wins, we what do we have left? All our men hate women.
But all our women are everyone saying that it's such a great app to grow your business, and it gets like a lot of exposure. Even like just like if you have a brand, people can get a lot of exposure. I mean, some way yes and some way no, but Instagram is very strict about blocking people, restricting people from comments and all this. TikTok is okay, they start getting there, but at first it was not really like that.
TikTok is great for business when it's great for business, but they can, it can be bad for business at any given point. I mean, if there is no consistency there, that's really what I say to all the women that are listening to this. Do not put all your eggs in that basket. For example, on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, you have much more consistency, I think, compared to TikTok. TikTok, you can do great for 2 months and you think everything's fine. And then all of a sudden they shadow ban you for whatever reason for 6 months. And then you're stuck. So if you do get on TikTok, the way that you can get the most out of it is to drive as much traffic as you can off TikTok. Go on TikTok, put your 3 videos a week if you want, whatever it is. I'd say put 3 videos a week, or if you want 3 videos a day, I don't know. It's up to you, you know, personally. I don't believe a lot of the BS that people say about TikTok. Like, oh, you got to do this, this, that. I don't listen to any of that bullshit. You know, I just do what I want. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I don't care. I just do it, you know, and I think that works better than trying to be fake, phony. Someone like reads a book and then they read the book and they says, oh, be a storyteller. And then they act like a storyteller, but it's like a fake story, as if, oh, you know, when I was 12, my dad left me and then I cried. And then I became successful and I worked at this job, and then I lost everything and I was at Taco Bell, and then I get, and it's like a fake sob story. And
you know, it actually kind of like similar to my life story.
No, I'm sorry. You know, no,
fine, I was just saying.
No, but I'm saying, but if that's really your story, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Some people fake.
No, but I'm just saying, if that's really your story, but I'm saying there's people there that are just saying anything just to say it's like there was a situation. You're not going to believe this. Like a year ago, I saw this guy say a story about how when he was younger, he would go to school. He's like third grade. And he noticed everyone liked candy. Then he went to like Sam's Club and he bought all this candy in wholesale prices. And then he saw this kid, this in the view of another guy, that he saw his friend, this kid, he saw this person sell all this candy and make so much money. And this kid was just like Bill Gates in the school.
My friend did that, and he is actually a millionaire now. Like, he didn't finish school.
Yeah, but hold on. The story gets better here. So now I'm telling you a story. So then he says the paradox that I'm actually telling you a story as I'm ridiculing this idea. So he says, so then at the end of the 1 minute video, the guy says, and that person who was selling candy was actually me. So and then everyone loves the video, right? Everyone loves the video. And it's like, wow, that's what you did. Wow, right? Then like 4 days later, this other kid did a video literally copying the words to the other kid, right? And then he went viral. And then like 3 weeks later, I did a video as a satire of the same fucking video. People took it serious. People, Then like 1 week later, another kid went viral with the same exact story. I'm the only one that's doing satire. I'm the only one that's doing, because half my videos are comedy. I was the only one doing comedy on that. I was literally just marveled at the stupidity of that app. But then the other kid did it and he was serious and he got another like 1-2 million views. So what's my point? That it can work. It can work, yeah. But you also lose credibility. You know, people can feel it when you're fake. You know, people can feel it when you're real. People can feel it instinctively, you know? You know, so if that's really your story, then obviously whatever you're doing is working. You've got 4 million downloads, right? I really want to take notes from you, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're doing something right. A lot better than me, you know what I mean?
Why? You're pretty, very successful too. What do you mean?
So you basically focus on helping a lot of women that are entrepreneurs, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Seems like you're doing a pretty great job, really.
Yeah. My brand is basically promotes it's okay to be yourself, it's okay to be different, it's okay to be unique. It's basically not basic.
That's right.
What are some key factors that can help us become millionaire?
You know, one cool thing about interviews is when someone asks you a question and you don't know that what question they're going to ask, and then you can watch that person think about the answer, right? Like, it's like real time. And that's a tough question. I would say the attributes that could help. The two attributes I will tell my daughter. You know, I've been thinking more and more, what will I tell my daughter? Because I my daughter to never depend on a man. I want my daughter to never, ever depend on a man. I never want my daughter to be controlled by a man. I never want my daughter to be 40 years old and be miserable with a man that disrespects her. And she's forced to stay in the relationship because she needs his money. And he bullies her, harasses her, cheats on her, beats her all. That's not going to be my daughter. I'm going to raise her from an early age to be very tough. And I'm thinking about it because I'm literally about to become a father. I think about it more and more. And one day I'm going to die and she'll be alone. So my money can come and go. She can spend it. I don't know. But there's three principles I can think of that two of them I've already thought about deeply. But I'll share with you. And this is quite personal. But this is what I would do with my own daughter. And I plan on doing this. She doesn't know it yet. So the first one would be persistence, to just be incredibly persistent. Keep trying. If it doesn't work, try it again. See what worked, what doesn't work. If it doesn't work, try it again. Keep experimenting, trying new ways. Keep being persistent. If you fail 5 times, get up, do it 6 times, 7 times. Just persistence. And I'm going to do a lot of exercises with her to be persistent. because I think persistence has helped me to the point of like where I kept failing and I thought I was crazy. Still think I am crazy, people tell me, but like I think that having a little bit of craziness where you keep failing, but you keep going, but you keep getting better, keep educating yourself, but you keep going. I know a million people have said persistence. That really is my secret, you know, is persistence. And I think a lot of people really do give up early. It's so simple and everyone has it. You don't need to buy a book. You don't need to go to college. You don't need to go to elementary school. You don't need to buy it from anyone. You have it. And developing persistence. Now, the second principle that I'll give my daughter is creativity. I think creativity is my most powerful weapon alongside persistence. My grammar at the age of 41 is probably on the level of a second grader, third grader. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. People make fun of my grammar. I don't care. I tell them, I don't care. The other day I was in a private jet and I was just making a comedy video. I was in a private jet and someone said in my social media video, they said, your grammar, they corrected my grammar of your. And I said, excuse my language. I said, do you think I give a fuck about my grammar? Do I look like I do? You know, and like, I've never gone to a bank and someone says to me, how's my grammar? Never. I've never gone and made a deposit at the bank and someone says, I won't take your money because of your grammar. I focus on math and creativity. I didn't do well in school. So for me, my creativity and imagination brought me answers that I could only dream possible. A lot of times I don't know what I'm doing because I don't have that high level of an education. So because I don't have a high level of education, I've been forced to use my creativity to outsmart people that are my competitors. Creativity is really my secret. Keep trying to find a new way of doing things. Don't copy me, for example. Don't copy your competitor. Don't copy. I try not to copy anyone. You know, like this, I have people who watch my content and then they copy me. That's the worst thing to do. That's the worst thing to do because you're not, if you really want to copy me, you would copy me by being yourself, same way I am. That's really the way. And if you're being yourself and you can't be popular, then partner with someone who can. You know, like if you're not popular on social media, partner with someone who can be. Don't force it. See, I wish I could do good in school. I can't. So I left college. I couldn't do well. It was impossible for me to get like a D, you know, and I didn't enjoy it. I left. Now, if I was good at it, I would probably be sitting here telling you that me going to law school was a great decision. I would have gone to law school. I would have gotten an MBA if I was good at school. I wasn't. I was awful. So it'd be easy for me to tell you that school was a stupid decision. It would be easy for me to tell you college is bad. Yeah, but in reality, college is bad because I sucked at it. If I did great at it, I would tell you college is something everyone should do. Why? Because it feeds into my ego.
I don't think.
But I didn't have that.
No, even it's a great decision. I think I wasted kind of my time there because yes and no, because I actually done 9 years of IT project management prior to start going blogging full time. And mostly what I studied there actually helped me in the business because I had business degree, but actually going there, I wish I started sooner what I'm doing now. And I wish I didn't like do this 9 to 5 because that was like a huge waste of time. And with creativity, I wish I started earlier expressing myself because I had so much outside noise that were like influencing me and did not let me to express myself in the way I wanted. So
yeah, I mean, if you can learn well, I think there's a lot of things you can learn. You know, I just didn't learn well, so I rely on creativity, imagination. I still do till this day, and I think imagination is something we all have. Creativity is all we all have, you know. Some have more than others. But I think it's something that everyone can benefit getting a little bit more of. So I would say that's that. And then the third principle is integrity. People don't really care how good you are at something. Like, you know, you hear people say this, like they don't care how much you know until they show them how much care. I think it's important to take care of your team. If someone were to say, I spoke to 10 people that work for you or with me, would they speak well about me behind my back? I'm fairly confident. Most people would say they like working. I'm confident because they stay with me. And I go out of my way to treat them fairly. Do I think there's some people that'll say they hate working with me? Yeah, of course. But I think the majority are happy, you know? And if you take care of your team, really, like, it really, business takes care of itself. That has worked for me. You know, like, I focus on the root. Take care of my team. Take care of my team, they take care of my customers. When I go to a restaurant, if I go to a restaurant and I see the staff is spitting in my face, treating me like a dog, ignoring me, mad attitude, awful food, awful presentation, I think the managers and the owners treat their staff like shit. I really do. Because I think if the owners and the management treated their staff well, they would attract better people. I mean, well, we're all equal, but people with a better attitude and more professional people, even with the same pay. You don't have to pay them. You know, we're all human beings. We have self-esteem. We have egos. Just treat them fairly. Treat them with respect. And then also, when you say you're going to pay somebody, pay them. Don't make it like, oh, it's a second job just to get paid from someone. Like, you do great work, and then it takes you 3 fucking weeks to go get paid. And then you keep emailing and texting and texting and email. Hey, did you get my invoice? Don't make it a job for the person. Pay them. They did their work, pay them. I make it a point to pay. I'm a big believer. And I learned this when I was about 21. 20 years ago, I learned this lesson. I'm a Jewish man. His name was Howie in Washington, D.C. I lived in Washington, D.C. for about a year. I did some work for him in a nightclub. I was 21. And he said to me, come to my office and get paid. I went to his office. I remember it was a sunny day just like this. I go into his office and he gives me a check. And he says, Nima, I say, yes, Howie. He says, in your career, you're going to see who respects you when it comes time to pay you. And I can still think about it like I'm sitting in that desk today, that when someone respects you, they make it easy for you to get paid and they make it a priority to pay you. You can tell how much someone respects you when it comes time to pay you. You know, if they don't respect you, they push you off. If they respect you, they pay you. And I make it a point to pay my team. Let me tell you, for example, I pay them on a monthly basis. I still haven't even gotten paid for the last, didn't even finish my accounting. You could ask the accountant. I haven't even finished our accounting for May. We haven't even finished our financials for May. I just paid everyone. I don't give a shit. Why? I paid them. I believe in paying your team first. I don't need the money anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't need it right now. It's still in my business bank account. It's not like it disappeared on me anyway, but I'm just saying, I paid them because they're still waiting. I actually made it a point to pay myself last. Once you start paying yourself last, it really is a paradigm shift rather than paying yourself first and then paying your team. I think that's one of the most selfish, stupidest things I've ever heard. Take care, pay yourself, fuck your team. No, take care of your team first. People think like that. A lot of people think like that. And it's the worst thing to do because you're not feeling the suffering of your staff. For your staff, getting their $7,000 salary that month, that's their rent. That's their groceries. That's their car insurance. That's their gasoline. That's them going on vacation. So when you delay it 1 week, maybe they didn't save that much money. Then you screwed their plan. Pay them when you say you were going to pay them. You pay them every week, pay them every 2 weeks, every month, whatever it is, whatever your billing schedule is with your bookkeeper, accountant, so forth. But pay them. And I think when you pay them first, it's especially as a small business, if you're not making much revenue, you should also feel, you're going to feel the pressure that you should. You will feel the pressure if you don't have much money. But just remember, your team has the pressure too. Think of your team's hunger, thirst, starvation, pain, ambition, desire. And they don't owe you anything. They can leave you. So if you're not helping them grow, don't. If you're not helping them grow, don't be mad if they leave. It's just like, with, you know, for example, my view on dating and relationships. You know, for example, with my woman, I love when she sees me improve myself. I love when she sees me grow. I hope she always watches me grow. I hope she always thinks Nima's best days are ahead of her. Because if my best days are behind me, then why would she want to even be with me? I don't even want that thought to go in her head. I don't ever want her to even think, oh, Nima's best days are over. I'm going to go find another man whose best days are still coming. Then she leaves, cheats on me. Then I don't have my daughter and my wife. I know that's a pretty dark way of looking at it. But I always want her to think my best days are ahead of me. First of all, my woman would never do that. She's much better than me. You know, she's like 50 times better than me. She doesn't even think as dark as I think. I'm very lucky to have her. Yeah, really, it's the best gift of my life. And then now I got a daughter, which is even a bigger gift. But I just want to say, I just always want to be focused on getting better and improving. And I feel like that with my staff, my team, and my partners. How can I help them keep growing? If you can do business with integrity, where you treat them fairly, you pay them well. Pay them well meaning a fair competitive wage. You don't have to overdo it, but you also pay them on schedule. And in addition to all of that, you help them grow. They don't leave. Most of them don't. I have so many people that are with me for years. Why would I screw someone over? Then I have to go build trust with another person. It takes so long to build trust with someone on your team. When you start doing business, you don't really know someone until you make money with them, you know, and then in dating before you sleep with them, right? You get to know, or you travel with them. You travel with a friend, you get to know them. You get on the airport with that person, you go to the airport, you get on a flight, right? Or you date someone, you sleep with them one night, you know, or in business, you make money with them. Then you start seeing someone. Or I felt like I didn't know my, for example, in one of my businesses, I felt my business partner said this to me. He's Chinese. I do business with the Chinese. And he said to me, it's a beautiful country. I've been to China. Despite my views on the CCP, I love China. I've been to China twice. There are a lot of patriotic Chinese Americans. I'm against Asian hate crimes. I love Chinese philosophy. Again, I've been to China twice. Beautiful. My father's been to China. He's done business with the Chinese. My views on the CCP is separate from everything else. I'm against bigotry of all forms. So I just wanted to clarify that. But one of my partners, Chinese, I do ongoing business with Chinese. Chinese that are not even American. Not Chinese like the guy lives in Alpharetta, Georgia, suburb of Atlanta. No. China like overseas. And Chinese man said this to me. He said, we got an argument once, me and this Chinese man. And he said to me, he said, Nima, and he spoke with his accent. You know, he said, Nima, in my view, you haven't really started your business relationship until after you've had your first argument. And after that, we began our real friendship, our business relationship. And he's one of my business partners that I do business with today. He's an amazing person. Incredible work ethic, incredible tenacity, dedication. To this day, I still do business with that one business partner. I still work with him. And that was something I learned, was that in business, it's like after that first argument, then you really see, okay, now it's like, all right, now the pleasantries are over. So back to the point, to your question, what are some skills that help? Three skills, three principles. Number one, persistence. Number two, creativity. And number three, integrity. If you do these three things, it's hard. It's hard to mess up. Those three things generally will take you far. At least give you an advantage. At least put the odds in your favor. I can't promise you results. Those three things that helped me, those are guiding principles for me. And now lately, I actually think more and more that my grandma passed away this year. I think, would she say to me in her voice and her sound, my grandma's side of the family is from Jerusalem, a mixed Iranian and Israeli, and my ethnic background. I was born and raised here in the United States. But my grandma said, she said something like, Pesarechut. Pesarechut means, in Farsi means, good boy. And I think that my grandma's passed away. In some situations, I think if I did something that was not popular, would my grandma say, you're a good boy, in her voice. And that's kind of my moral compass now that she's gone, because she was like a mother. And losing her was the most painful thing in my life. And it happened the same year that I'm having a daughter.
So sorry for your loss. Yeah, I'm very close
to your grandma.
Yeah, and last year she had stroke in July. I was in Miami for Swim Fashion Week and I got news and it was crazy. I just had to leave everything, go back to Atlanta, pack and go to Ukraine. So I had to spend there like 3.5 months, then almost like, I spent there almost 6 months. And now, and after the war started, so I had 6 weeks, like no communication with her. And after I didn't sleep for a month and a half, had to find someone to evacuate them from Ukraine. Her building got split in half. And finally I was able to evacuate her and bring to US like a month ago at the end of May. Yeah, but she's now—
Where is she now?
She's now here. With my mom, and but she's partially paralyzed and she doesn't speak after the stroke.
Is she in Atlanta?
Yeah, she's in Atlanta now, but she has a boyfriend. He's 13 years younger. We were able to bring him as well.
Oh, that's—
they've been together for a while before it happened, and the stroke happened. He stuck with her through that.
Oh man, that's I feel for the people. I had a Ukrainian girlfriend when I was a lot younger. I had a Latvian girlfriend too. I've been to Eastern Europe, but you know, it's very sad what happened to Ukraine, huh?
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I saw some stuff, I don't know if it was propaganda or not, of Russian soldiers that were beating a girl on the ground. It was so graphic that and the way they kicked her and, oh my gosh, it's just really, hopefully there's peace there, you know? As an American, I definitely support those people, you know?
Really. Yeah, it was very crazy, so much craziness there, but I'm glad like they're safe now and here. That was a lot. But I totally feel you, like how you feel about your grandma, and it's just like, so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it happened. It's like cognitive dissonance that it happened to me. It's the happiest moment that I'm having a daughter. And then the other moment is my grandma passed away, you know, the darkest. It's surreal. It's like right now, it's a sunny day. Every day feels like it's a sunny day now, but there's a tsunami coming that's going to just wipe out the island. And you're watching this video on social media. It's a beautiful sunshine. You see a palm tree, right? And you're thinking like, oh, that's beautiful. But then there's this like massive tsunami coming that's about to just kill 10,000 people. And that's how I feel. It's like every day now for me for the past month and a half, roughly 5 weeks or so, has just been like a tsunami. It's the greatest day of my life. And it's the darkest day of my life. It's the most surreal experience, you know? So. Just try to take it one day at a time. You're very lucky you can see your grandmother. You get an opportunity today or tomorrow, you know, you go give her a kiss, a hug, pinch your cheeks. Do it for me.
But you know,
I'll vicarious.
She doesn't speak and she can only like, she can understand everything, but she can't speak. It's not like she was the same as she was before. It's basically, we kind of lost her, but not really, but we are even happy that she's like that and she's alive. So, but it's hard.
My grandma, when she was in the home before she passed away, I remember, despite the fact that she couldn't really talk, once she held my hand. And after my visit, I was about to leave and I was holding her hand and she was holding my hand and I was about to leave. And then as was about to leave, she grabbed my hand stronger, but then I left few minutes later, and I still think how much I wish I could still keep holding her hand. But I'll never be able to hold her hand, and she'll never kiss me for the rest of my life, and I have to live with that, you know. So I would say, even if your grandma cannot talk to you, you're just going there and she can hear it. Maybe she can just hear you. You can hold her. It's still something. Even if it doesn't do much for you, maybe she can see, feel it. Because I remember my grandma, when she couldn't talk and I said her name before she passed away within a few days, I remember when I told her how much I love her, I said basically in another language, I said how much I care for her. I love her. I remember she was like this. Her eyes went up like this. Her eyebrow went up like this. Like she could hear me. She couldn't talk, but it was like she could hear me. And I hope that gave her something, you know? So you being there for your grandma, you're never going to regret it. Even if she can't talk, maybe she can hear you. Maybe she can feel you touch her.
She can. She can say yes or no, but she like can't really have the conversation. She can't say what she wants.
She'll be happy when she sees you. Yeah. She'll be happy when she sees you.
She was kissing my hands the other day when I came by. I was there yesterday, and yeah, it was crazy.
Man, I'm jealous, but I'm happy for you. You know? So
thank you.
Take advantage of that as much as you can while you can. As much as you can while you can. You won't regret it. You won't regret it.
Thank you. And I know, like, hard to lose loved one, but, you know, they're always with us. They're still with us. They, you know, even if they're gone, they're still present. That's like when I lost some of my relatives and my grandpa. That's what I always remember. It kind of helps me to cope with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how, yeah. I feel like she's going to be my daughter.
Yeah.
A little bit of her is in my daughter. Yeah. That's for sure.
Because there is like kind of, I don't know why, but it's always happens in the family when someone dies, there is always newborn in the family. It's always like that. I've seen this with my friends happening in their families and like my relatives. It always happened like that. You know, when wow. someone passes away, there is newborn coming. Yeah.
Wow. I'm happy you told me that.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little better. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Thank you for having me. Really, yeah. Really. I want to say thank you again. And I look forward to listening to this podcast, watching it, you know?
Yeah, thank you. And where can all listeners find you? Your social handles, all the information. Do you offer any courses or?
My Instagram, Nemo Yamini, NIMAYAMINI, Nemo Yamini on Instagram. I do a lot of business content, mindset content, but I also do a bunch of comedy videos, skits and stuff. But yeah, I'm on Instagram. And again, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That was all for today, guys. I hope you really enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Not Basic Blonde podcast is available on all the major platforms with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. To support the show, tag NBB podcast on your Instagram stories and check out more behind the scenes on Instagram as well at notbasicblonde_ or NBB podcast. And if you haven't, subscribe, rate and review Not Basic Blonde podcast on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.